Once a Monster by Robert Dinsdale, read by Justin Avoth. It's one of those nights when rain lacerates the city and every familiar sight is obscured. You've been out in thunderstorms before, but not like this. Tonight, the old rivers beneath London rage and rise up. Gas lamps flicker and die. Caught out on a night like this, a faithless man might find God, if only for the sanctuary of one of his churches. A thief might find honour, if only for the shelter of a Newgate cell. But you don't have to worry about that, because you're one of the lucky ones, watching from the window, the heat of a hearth fire prickling at your back. Tonight, you get to curl up with a book and read this story. There are people out there who have to live it. Minos is one of them. Spare a thought for him as he shambles through the storm, for he'll be left for dead by chapter's end, and after that, who knows what will become of him. The giant has known he is being followed since he took shelter in the alley behind St. Anne's. There, among the cowering street dogs, he sensed a presence. Four cowled men watching from alley's end. Fellow vagabonds, you might think, caught out in the storm. But Minos has been hunted before, and he knows them instinctively for what they are. There are different kinds of street dog in the world. So he bows back into the storm. The North Marsh low lodgings are not so very far away, but the city is different on a night like this. Watch how the wind turns the trees at St. Anne's to a frenzy of motion. Narrow your eyes, like Minos does, against the sleet driving into you at every conflux of roads. London is a deceitful city. What is navigable by day proves more devious by night, and on a night like this, more devious yet. Without gas lamps or stars, there is little way of knowing north from south or east from west. The city is hidden behind a constantly shifting cascade, so you must trust instead to the sensation of cobbles beneath your feet, the soles of your work boots, threadbare and thin. Onward he goes, left he turns, then right, forward he ploughs, then back. It is strange how the whole of London devolves down to the few inches in front of your face, the ability to put one foot in front of another. Indeed, it is only by the strobing lightning that he realizes his hunters still shadow him at all. If only that lightning might illuminate the palaces at Westminster, perhaps he could find his way home. Instead, it reveals four cutpurses fanning out around him, a fifth somewhere ahead. Instincts take over, animal instincts. Yes, he has enough of those. He takes flight into tighter alleys. There are enough places to lose yourself in a tangle of London back streets, but a man like Minos will always stand out. Somehow, he reaches the river. On its banks, the storm lifts squalls from the water and casts them around in wild, disordered furies. Minos tries to get his bearings, but being lost is a state of mind as well as body, and it takes too long to pick out the silhouette of the abbey. By then, the men are already around him. "He's a big one," says the first. "But there's five of us," says another. Minos sees the cudgels in their hands, leather straps, a length of lead pipe, then the flashing of knives. Something in his body remembers the touch of steel, and he rubs at a furrow of scar tissue by the nape of his neck. "Is he going to say anything? He's one of those oafs. He's got the body, but he doesn't got the brain. Is he even going to fight back?" They have their eyes on the satchel over his shoulder. Just as the cutpurses constrict around him, Minos tosses it into the water at their feet. Inside it, they find the 4 shillings and 6 pence he got paid at the end of shift. But men like this are never satisfied without a fight. Men like this always believe there's more. So they set about him. How many times has this happened? He rolls with each blow, recoils at the knives plunged into his side, cradles himself as they set about him with steel-capped boots. The only moment he tries to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?